Alert. They left the saloon by the back door, moving stealthily, guns in hand, every sense alert. As it turned out, their precautions were unnecessary. No guards were posted, no one hailed them or barred their way. Hellscale was as empty of life as a rad zone. The sky overhead was a deep blue-black, stars gleaming frostily around a weak quarter moon. The stars and moonlight provided enough light for them to creep through the sagebrush and scraggly vegetation without stumbling into holes or tripping over rocks. They moved toward the glowing spots of torchlight until they reached the foot of a gentle slope. Ryan took the point, walking up the deeply furrowed face to the crest. The others watched him peer over it, then drop flat. After a few seconds, he gestured for them to join him.
I guess this is where it's at.
Christ almighty.
A glance at his wrist chron showed Ryan the hour of midnight was close at hand.
Looks like we're right on time.
In the center of a natural bowl, formed by several low hills, reared a pyramidal structure. Made of long lengths of gleaming aluminum, it was at least 50 feet high and 100 wide at the base. The interior of the skeletal structure was packed with cordwood, coal, and paper. It was kept inside the pyramid shape by a high chain-link fence that stretched around it. At least a half ton of tinder was spread out beneath the fuel. At the apex of the pyramid, where the four poles joined, was a block and tackle contrivance with a heavy rope pulled taut and out at a 45-degree angle. The end of the rope was affixed to a railed dais that was positioned about 40 feet from the pyramid's base. On top of the dais, lounging in the fan-backed wicker chair and still dressed in spotless white, was Lars Hellstrom. A black drum rested on his lap. His lean body was in a casual posture, but his eyes were penetrating and as keen as a hawk's. Ryan had the urge to duck his head, even though he knew it was impossible for Hellstrom to spot him and his friends. The area around the pyramid and the dais was thronged by a silent crowd, all wearing strange barbaric costumes. Many wore the hides of beasts, others nothing at all except body paint and multicolored patterns. Most of them wielded flaming torches. Hellstrom lifted a hand. Every eye was upon him, staring with an intensity that came close to adoration.
I greet you, my brothers and sisters and children.
Ryan looked at the rapt faces of the people gazing up at him and decided that Hellstrom was one of the most dangerous men he had ever seen. To the men, women, and probably even the children of Hellskell, this rail-thin patriarch was already on the road to divinity, just like his savior, Charlie Manson.
We have survived. That's our key word, survival. The family has survived for over a century. Everything Lord Charlie prophesied has come to pass. Helter Skelter did indeed come down, and we, his family, have inherited the earth, and we have prospered. We have seen the dawn of our success. We have risen like the phoenix from the ashes, and we occupy the place that was kept from us years ago by the duplicities of false gods. Helter Skelter has come down. Even if the world had not choked to death and spit up its own guts and burned itself out, the family would still have survived. Charlie's vision was real. His knives were real. The blood he spilled was real. His teachings outlived his enemies. The age of pig magic is over! Helter Skelter has come down!
I really can't believe it. Hellstrom's presentation is so staged, so contrived, so childish. It's difficult to understand how anyone would buy into it.
The age of pig magic is over! We're the sorcerers now, baby!
Everyone shook their torches madly. Hellstrom's eyes roved over the faces of his audience.
Now, we must give one of our brothers a proper farewell. And though he leaves us, and we will miss him, we must not shirk our duties to our world, to the rest of the family.
Hellstrom sat back in his chair, holding the drum in his lap. Four people, all wearing hooded animal skins, marched toward the dais. They were carrying Zadfrak, bound hand and foot to the wooden frame of a litter. The quartet placed the man on the platform near the base of Hellstrom's chair, and the crowd shuffled forward, forming a half circle around it. The crowd flung their arms up in unison, weaving their bodies rhythmically from the waist up. Suddenly, Fleur, now naked, sprang into the space between the people and the platform, her long hair flying loose. Red and blue paint adorned her bare arms and legs. She brandished a 14-inch long bowie knife over her head, and she exuded an erotic energy, a dangerous sensuality. Bounding to the dais, Fleur straddled Zadfrak's body.
What do you do when you get to the bottom?
Go back to the top of the slide!
Fleur began to slash Zadfrak's bound body with her blade. Blood sprayed up, splashing her nude body, spattering in an artless pattern across her breasts. Fleur suddenly sagged against the rail of the platform, quivering in exhaustion. The crowd surged forward. Knives appeared in every hand, and they converged around the dais. Blades slashed and sliced, but the crowd was careful not to stab. The throng backed away. A red ruin of a human being lay on the litter. Fleur, still exhausted, untied the rope from the rail and knotted it around the top cross-section of the litter. A man, who was completely naked except for a hooded mask made from a huge wolf's head, leapt to the dais and began hauling on the rope, hand over hand. The litter and Zadfrak's mutilated body swung up and free of the platform, inching toward the top of the pyramid. At one point, the lupine mask slipped, and the scarred face of Dog could be seen. At the same time, men with torches scurried about the base of the pyramid, igniting the tinder. Several more men, carrying metal tanks with hoses and nozzles attached, squirted sprays of pre-dark gasoline onto the packed flammables. In almost all regions of Deathlands, pre-dark gasoline was worth as much, if not more, than gold. To use it as an accelerant when alternatives were available meant one of two things. Either the citizens of Hellskell were unpardonably wasteful, or they had an almost unlimited supply. Zadfrak's body dangled at the apex of the pyramid, held by the strength of Dog's brawny arms. When flames licked his blood-dripping feet, Dog released his grip.
Oh, Jesus! Zadfrak was still alive!
A whirling column of fiery sparks and embers corkscrewed up into the black sky. Dropping his gaze to the dais, Ryan saw that Hellstrom was still seated. He was smiling, and he seemed to be staring past the throng to the ridgetop hiding Ryan and his people. Cold fear stole over Ryan. He took Christy by the arm.
Let's get the fuck out of here.
Don't want to wait until daybreak anymore?
Hell no, let's move out. If anyone tries to stop us, blow them away.
When they reached Hellskell, Jack, Mildred, and Doc went to retrieve their gear from the rooms, while J.B., Ryan, and Christy went to prepare the Land Rover.
According to the fuel gauge, we have about a quarter of a tank. Let's get as far as we can on that, then stop and gas up.
Good idea.
They rounded the corner of the saloon, sprinting toward the parked vehicle. J.B. rocked to a sudden halt.
Shit!
Fire blast.
The armored wag's six tires were flat. They had all been expertly slashed. There really hadn't been a choice. To pack up and hike out of the area on foot was completely out of the question. Behind them were the Badlands, and they had no idea of what lay ahead. Nor were they inclined to abandon the wag. It would be too much of a loss to simply shrug off. Ryan now sat in a chair facing the bedroom door, his gun in hand. Christy sat on the bed, leaning against the headboard, her Smith & Wesson in her lap. Ryan checked his wrist chron every so often. At a little after three, he saw that Christy had nodded off, still sitting upright against the headboard, her eyes closed. He thought about waking her, then decided to let her sleep an hour. He looked out the window and watched the distant fire glow of the pyre for a few minutes. When he turned to look at Christy, she wasn't there. Instead, a vast, rocky plain stretched out all around him, the edges blurring into the horizon. he found himself standing completely